Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Here, here, Tuesday. Testify Tuesday. Just getting in right here. Give I and I a little moment here before we start out the podcast, the broadcast right here. Tonight's podcast, today's daily song, Psalm 13. All right.
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords, conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of God, light of the world, is these Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. Protect my son David as he traveled this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men who surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with understanding and patience. Remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
The Lion of Judah shall break every chain. Lion of Judah shall break every chain. Yeah. Lion of Judah shall break every chain. Hey, 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 hey. Give us some victory again and again. The conquering Lion shall break every chain. The conquering Lion shall break every chain. The conquering Lion shall break. The conquering Lion shall break every
You take the lion from the flag of Africa.
is zero sum. The lion is a robot of soldier, and tonight you going to pin on another stripe on his shoulder. Because we've been killing and killing and killing and killing and dealing with them baby. So all of the conquering lion crew, all the girls them.
Holy, 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 holy,
pleasant it is, my brethren, friends together, in unity. Heart in Christian love, fellowship of kindred minds, like Mount Zion above, Ethiopia, Mount Zion. And how pleasant it is for our brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that run down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Like the Jew of Hermon, like the Jew that descend upon the mount of Zion. For dear the Lord, O God, Rastafari, command and bless you. Life and love forevermore.
Let peace, love and justice bring out. As well as the singers and the players of the instruments shall be there. All that springs are me. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for our brethren to play together. Chanting for peace. Peace that man don't live like beast. that plane zone drop no more bombs.
Tomorrow
man can live and live on.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Yes, yes, yes. A local Count Ozzy and Mystic Revelation. Mystic Revelation of Rastafari. Look it up. If you don't know, then get to know. But right there, you got to hear right here on Testify Tuesday, a little musical interlude from Count Ozzy, Mystic Revelation.
Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
Seven seals thereof.
Seven seals thereof.
Seven seals thereof.
Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seals. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Well, who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seas. You know, God walked down in the cool of the day, called Adam by his name, and he refused to answer because he's naked and ashamed. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seas. You know Christ had 12 apostles and 3 he led away. Say, watch with me 1 hour. Till I go yon and pray. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seas. Who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seas. Christ came on the Easter morning. Mary and Martha was down to see. Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Tell me who's riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seals. Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seals.
Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
Seven seals thereof.
The seven seals thereof.
The seven seals.
Is the child conquering lion, Judah. Triumphantly, we all must sing and sing and sing.
Mizmor Pevet, Mizmor Le'Asaf.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim Nitzav Ba'adat El, 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 El.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods. The God.
Bekerev Elohim
Yishpot. Elohim Yishpot. Elohim Yishpot. Elohim Yishpot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. 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 Inherit all nations.
Actually says, and also the unique, the Hebrew context. Right, so interpreting this Psalm 82, in context, we get the context of the God. So it says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Now, the Hebrew, Mizmor Le'Asaf, Psalm of Asaf. So like a Psalm of Asaf, Mizmor Le'Asaf, Le'Asaf. Usually it's Le'Dawid, but here Le'Asaf, of Asaf. First verse, Elohim, Nitzav, Ba'adat El, Elohim. God standeth in the congregation of God. Here, from the Hebrew, it's translated as God standeth in the congregation of God. Elohim, Nitzav, standeth. Ba'edat, in the edat is the congregation. Ba'edat, from the root, the ad, the ed, witness Ba'edat El, in the congregation of El, of El. Second part of the first verse, Bikarev Elohim Yishpot. Bikarev, Bikarev, Karev, the Karev, the center in the midst. Bi, by way of in Karev, in the Karev, in the midst, Elohim, in the midst of Elohim, Yishpot, 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 he judges, he Shafat, Shafat, Mishpat, judgment, Jehoshaphat, we have Jehoshaphat, Safat, Shafat, judgment. Here we have Yishpot, he judges. Now, looking at the English, Elohim, or God, it says, standeth in the congregation of the mighty, right, the mighty. That word there, mighty, is the word El, right, the El, El, El. And El, right here, is the Hebrew, right, the all-powerful, the almighty. Properly in Hebrew, El is almighty, El, El, the almighty, the God, the power, right? In the Hebrew, it is related to the Hayel, 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 right? Ha-El, Hayel, the El, Hayel. So here it says the Elohim, right, the heavenly judge, standeth. The verb is not the usual one denoting the opposite of sitting. It's not the kum or the kam. It's not the kam or the kum. It's the natsav, natsav, natsav. Here we have nitsav, nitsav, right? It conveys the idea in the Hebrew of taking up a position, right? Stand your position, taking a position for a solemn, for a set-apart purpose. And here we have the connection even in Deuteronomy, here this fifth book of Moshe, that we are in presently here in the season. We have Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9. When we read and study Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9, we'll see the connection of the verb, the nitzav, right? And that's the Torah portion, if we correct, the nitzavim, nitzavim. Atem nitzavim, you all standing, y'all who stand, y'all who are standing. In the Hebrew, Atem, all of you, Atem, you all speaking to a group of males, particularly the Bnei Yisrael, Nitzabim, Nitzabim, standing ones. All of you all are standing ones. And this was when the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, stood to ratify, to put in effect HaBrit, to put in effect the covenant, right, the covenant. I brought that word out so one can understand the context of the Hebrew, which only makes sense out of the real meaning of this psalm, because many ones and ones looking from the translation and not having a groundation, a foundation Hebraically in the context, you know, it's possible for ones to interpret, or rather to misinterpret, outside the Hebrew context, verse 6, where it says, I have said, ye y'all are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So there are various interpretations that are outside the Hebrew context, outside the context of the language, the context of Torah. We can call them profane, because profane literally means something that's profane is outside of the temple, something that's profane is outside of the holy place. So there's many profane interpretations concerning what the gods or the Elohim means. Some modern commentators, they consider that what we have in Psalm 82 is like a heavenly assize, like some say a heavenly assembly, right? And a heavenly assembly, like some angels or tutelary gods of other peoples, heathen people, other nations. Here they're being summoned because they permitted acts of violence against the innocent. This is one of the modern profane interpretations of the context of Elohim. Some look at Elohim here to mean the angels, that the angels are called Elohim. All of this is outside of the Torah and the Hebrew context. In other words, if we were Hebrew-speaking people, biblical, scriptural Hebrew-speaking people, and we heard of these different interpretations, right, and we're Torah observant, we would know that that is heathen, that's profane, that's going after Elohim Acharim, other people's Elohim, strange Elohim, Elohims that we did not even know. Part of the reason we can come to this conclusion without going deep in Torah studies is just look at the sentence that's passed upon the accused. It says, y'all shall die like men, right? This is an idea that when one's connected with so-called angels, angels dying like men, this is foreign to the Hebraic, to the Torah, the scriptural thought, right? In support of the true reading of the psalm, there's a close parallel in the scene that's found in Ishayahu, in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 14, right? And there are circumstances that are similar also in Psalm LVIII or in Psalm 58. But in context here, we have Elohim, the Elohim, before whom there was no Elohim, and after whom there be no Elohim. We're speaking of Yahweh, Yahweh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, who says that I, that he be Elohim, that before him there were no Elohim, and after him there is no other, there is no Elohim other than him. He know of no Elohim, but he who be who he be, Ha Elohim, Ha'ilahim. And he is the creator, and he is the judge of judges. Right? So here, in the context of the first part of the verse that in the King James Version is brought out as God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That's the KJV translation. Elohim standeth in the congregation of El. Elohim standeth in the congregation of El. Elohim standeth in the congregation of the Almighty, the All-Powerful One. The second part of the verse is very curious how the translator brings it out in the King James Version. He judgeth among the gods, right? But see, if this was supposed to be translated directly like the Hebrew, they should have said gods standeth in the congregation of the God, of the Almighty. He judgeth among the gods. But then in that interpretation, what is lost in translation is the meaning of Elohim, according to the Hebrew thought, according to the Torah thought, right, according to the context of the covenant-keeping people, right? So we just want to zoom in on that because as we study the Torah, right, Hebraically and looking at the translation side by side, we clearly see where the Elohim is applied to the Shoftim, to the judges, and by extension to the Shoftim and the Shotarim, to the judges and to the officers. And this Torah reading and feeding right here that we're in, right, this 48 sabbatical study, it really brings it more full, right? Now, we're going to return to that momentarily, but here, you know, for this sabbatical study, for this Shabbat Strong, it would be good for I and I to go over the first day, the second day Aliyah. So the first day would be like what they call the Sunday, the first day of the Shavuah. Second day is the moon day, Yom HaSheni. And here we're at the Yom HaShalishi. Here we're at the third day. This is how Hebraically we count the days. The days have numbers. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And then we have the Shabbat, right? Then we have the Shabbat day. Right, so it's basically all about the Shabbat, and the word referred to the week is Shavuah. Shavuah, modern Hebrew, Shabuah. Shabuah from the Sheba, right, from the key indication of the seven. So here, let's write up right here for the first, second, and third day, and hopefully this will become more clear and also further reasoning on the importance of Psalm 82 and the correct translation and interpretation in the Hebrew, in the Torah context. In other words, it's how the original writers, how they thought, and how translators have translated what they have translated, but what's the true context, beginning with the Masoretawi Kwankwa Ibrayist. In other words, beginning with the foundational language, as Haile Selassie the First says, the Hebrew. Second part of the verse, in the midst of the Elohim, he judges. In the midst of the Elohim, Bikarev Elohim Yishpot. Now, the idea of Elohim as gods, as I say, other gods, is foreign in this sense. Here it's speaking of the Elohim. It's speaking of he who be who he be, Jehovah. He is Ha Elohim. He is the Elohim, the true Elohim, the true God. And when we say El, we're saying El in the sense of he is the power. He is the Almighty. He is the Almighty. So we have Elohim and we have El. So Elohim Nitzav. Elohim standeth. Elohim is a name that we use in the Hebrew for in two aspects of Jehovah, of Yahweh. One aspect is the Creator. Even in Bereshith, we have Elohim there. The second aspect in the Hebrew that is lost to the foreign mind is of judge and judgment. So in reading the Hebrew and seeing the Elohim name in predominance in a certain area, say, for example, the Psalms, we can tell that this psalm is as one in court would be appealing to the judge for judgment. We know that the psalm is speaking, or the area is speaking of the Creator, the Almighty, in the sense of the judge of judge, the God of gods, so to speak. But also Elohim is applied according to Exodus chapter 26, right? Look at the English and look at the interlinear and the Hebrew. Exodus chapter 26 and 6. Slika, chapter 21 and 6, Exodus chapter 21, verse 6, Exodus chapter 22, verses 7, verse 8, verse 27, and 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25, right, the judges, right, the judges here being called the Elohim, right, based on the principle of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. So what does Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17 say? Let's just go here. See, it's easy for one just to pop off in a psalm, right, that's been translated by foreigners for you, and to say, make up any kind of philosophy off of it, right, and even try to retrograde it into Hebrew. But coming forward from the Hebrew, you can see a lot of these things don't make sense. So verse 17 says this in Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moshe called Deuteronomy, the Sefer HaDebarim. It says, y'all, or ye, shall not respect persons in judgment, have a partiality to faces, but y'all shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye, y'all, shall not be afraid of the face of man. For, here's the key phrase, for the judgment is Ha'elohim, is Ha'elohim, is the Elohim's. For the judgment is the Elohim's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring to me to I, and I will hear it. Now, that's one of the places that lays down the principle. So in the principle is that all judgment, all true judgment, is based on Ha'elohim, Yahuwah, Eloheinu's, our Elohim's, his Torah, his direction, his instruction. And the men, the shoftim, the judges, the shotarim, the officers, the men who administer justice, right, in the covenant community among the Beit Yisrael, among Jah people, the men who administer justice, tzedek, right, justice, righteousness, are considered to be his agents. And they exercise, these judges as well as the officers, they exercise a Elohim-like function. And as such, they have Shemo, his name, the Hashem, Shemo, his name attached to them. Now, once we see that in its proper context, that Psalm 82, Mizmor Fe Veit, Pe Beit, Psalm 82, is corrupt judges being arraigned. And these judges are not some foreign gods or some pseudo-angels or other kind of spooky stuff. It's not speaking about none of that. It's speaking about, why is there no justice and peace among Kol Yisrael? Basically, this psalm is like asking that question. Why is there no justice and peace? Why do Jah people go to foreign people for justice, go to foreign people who just wrote and made up their own Frankenstein laws? Why do they go to these? Why don't they have justice and peace in their own community? Speaking of Yisrael, it's because those men who administer justice, who are his agents, because they're his agents, they have his name and his title, Elohim, attached to them. So the Elohim, Elohei, Ha'elohim, Elohei, the Elohim of Ha'elohim, of the Elohim, the God of gods, now is calling the men, the Shoftim and the Shotarim of Kol Yisrael, into judgment. We find this in many areas of the scripture. When the people are going wrong, Jah don't like the people going wrong, but then he puts the blame on those who had the responsibility, right, to teach and to show a better example. It's like when Rabbeinu Yeshua, Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi Yeshua HaMoshiach, when he points out the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, the other ones who they had the keys of the kingdom, he says. They had the keys of the government of the kingdom. But they did not enter in. They did not go into those studies. They were the keepers of the scripture, the keeper of the scrolls, the Bible. They were the ones that were supposedly supposed to be learned in it and guiding the people rightly. But it was them that was doing the most wrongly. It's like when we went into John chapter 7 from the previous Shabbat Re'eh, right? And we brought out a little bit of an emphasis when they said that the people that don't know the Torah, the same people who are responsible for teaching the people HaTorah, they said against the people because the people were saying that Yeshua is either that prophet likened to Moses or he is HaMoshiach. And because they disagreed with that, they said these people are stupid. These people are cursed. The people that don't know HaTorah are cursed. What's so ironic about that in John's Gospel chapter 7, if we're correct, verse 42, what is so ironic when you zoom out and you put it in context, they basically condemn themselves because they were the ones who were responsible, as Yeshua said to them, as Rabbeinu said to them. You know, y'all have the keys of the kingdom. Y'all have the Torah. Y'all the one in the community that the community supports to study Torah, whether in the local synagogues, the local Hebrew churches, or in the tabernacle. Y'all the men that are studying this, but yet y'all keeping these things to yourself. You're not even living it right by yourself, and you're misdirecting the people. That's why they was upset with Rabbeinu Yeshua. That's why we say he's the rabbi of rabbis. They were upset with him because he was pointing out their hypocrisy, and he was explaining these deep areas of Torah to the people of the land very simply. That's why they expressed their fret and their fear, their pachad, right, their dread, when they said, oh, if he continues, if Yeshua continues, then he's going to take away, you know, the temple. He's going to take away all of our authority that they had received under the Romans. It reminds me of many of the preachers and the pastors and others that know that the once lost now found are Yisrael. Know that they're that people of the book. But because of the world flesh, the satanic seclorum, they might tell you that quietly and privily, you know, and outside of the pulpit. But that is not what they are teaching the people. But then they'll turn around and say, oh, whoa, 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 look at the people. These people are so ungodly. And yet in our neighborhood, we have more churches than anywhere else. But yet morally, right, we'll be below everyone else. Why is that? Because these are the fingerprints of Yisrael, of Yasharala. These are the fingerprints. In fact, I saw just a Heal Up Go Black to Africa. Heal Up to Go Black to Africa. He has a video like Americans. It's called Americans. Why are white people? What's this video called? Let me get the name of this video. I want the item to check this video out. Also to check out the channel provider. Where is this video right here? I want to get this name of this video. No, it was sent to I. But it was a white Christian, maybe Jewish, you know, somehow, maybe had some Jewishness, you know, about him. But anyway, he was basically speaking on, okay, here it goes right here. Americans, is he right in what he says about black people? It's on the Go Black to Africa channel. Americans, is he right about what he says about black people, right? And it's so very interesting because he is saying the truth that a lot of I and different camps, different Israelites, in my father's house as many mentioned, but different ones, we all kind of are agreed on these basic ABCs of our identity. We're agreed on that. Other aspects, well, you know, my father's house, but still the foundation, the core curriculum, we're agreed on. And how a lot of black people, by hearing a white man or someone else say that, they might say, maybe he has something there. Or maybe the Israelites, or maybe the Rastafari Israelites, maybe I are correct. But it's just interesting that we have to hear this from the others, right? Because as this psalm here says, it says, how long, right, will ye judge unjustly? So when a black man tell you the same truth and you hear it from someone else, you don't believe the black man, but you believe somebody else. Even though the black man gave you the same evidence that the other people gave you. And accept the persons of the wicked. So you accept it from one face, right? But you don't respect your own so-called black face, right? Selah, right? Well, forget about even respecting. We shouldn't have a respect of person. You don't hear the truth, right? You don't hear the spirit. He who have ears to hear, let him hear what the spirit says. But it's not the physical.
I'm going to test. Psalm 82.
Mizmor pevet,
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el.
He judgeth among the gods.
Bekerev Elohim yishpot. Mizmor pevet, mizmor le'asaf. Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, bekerem Elohim yishpot. Ad matai tishpetu avel, ufne resha'im, yise'u sela. Shiftu dal ve'yatom, ani varash hatzdiku. Palletu dal ve'evyon, מיד רשעים הצילו. לא ידעו ולא יבינו, בחשיכה יתהלכו, ימותו כל מוסדי הארץ. אני אמרתי, אלוהים אתם, ובני עליון כולכם. אכן כאדם תמותון, וכאחד השרים תיפולו. קומה אלוהים, שפטה הארץ, כי אתה תנחל בכל הגויים.
Psalm 82.
מזמור פבט, מזמור לאסר.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. The mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el.
He judgeth among the gods.
Bekerem Elohim yishpot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. He shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
friend, we'll never know. If you stand up, Jude, tell me now, would you go back? The game was set to lose. Got to play the winning jack. Lust of life is greed. It's churning poverty. When will we? Open up your eyes and you will see. 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 Open up your eyes and you will see.
Sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Shabbat Shem Av Wahabein Ruaha Kadosh. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Glory be. We're gonna ride up here for this. First words, Hebrew Torah. Shalom, Habarim, Shalom. Hebrew Torah, first words for this 49th weekly Torah portion of reading and feeding, and I and Rastafari sabbatical studies for this sabbatical strong. Ki Tetzaya. Hebrew first words, you pick up with Deuteronomy chapter 21 from verse 10. First words, Hebrew Torah, first words. Ki Teitze la milchama al obeka unatano Yahuwah Eloheka b'yadeka v'shabita shibayo. When thou goest forth to battle, against thine enemies, and the Yahweh thy Elohim, Eloheka, deliverest them into thine hands, and thou, the eye, carriest them away captive. Hebrew Torah, first words for this 49th weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding, I, manna, angel's bread, for this Rastafari sabbatical study, for this sabbatical strong, ki tetzaya. La milchama al hobeka una kano Yahuwah Eloheka b'yadeka v'shabita shibyo. When thou goest forth, ki teitze, when thou goest forth to battle, ki teitzeya la milchama. Hebrew Torah, first words, ki Teitze, ki to sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Here,
Shema'ah, Yisrael, here, give ear for the Shalishi, Aliyah, 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 Aliyah.
here for the third reading, third up offering, here for this Shabbat Kitev A Sabbath, when thou goest forth. Here picking up with the fifth book of Moshe, fifth book of Moses, Hebrew book called Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 22, here at verse 8, for the Shalishi, for the third Aliyah, third up offering, offering up, third reading. Ki Tivneh Bayita Chadash with Asita ma ike le gageka with loa tasima damima be beiteka ki ipola ha nofel mimenu. When thou buildest a new house, ki tibne bayit chadash, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy the eye roof with asita maik legageka, that thou bring not blood upon thine house with Lord Tasima Damima Bebeteka. If any man fall from thence from there, Kia Yipola Hanofela Mimen. Hear, the law of separation, the law of separation, verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard, be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four corners, quarters, upon the four quarters of thy vesture. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. The innocent wife, the innocent Isha, Eshet, protected. Verse 13. If any man take a Isha, Eshet, a wife, and go into her, and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity to the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man to wife, to Isha, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him and discipline him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of kesef of silver, and give them to the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be Ishto, his wife. He may not put her away all his days. The guilty wife, the guilty Isha, Eshet, to be stoned. Verse 20. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's bait, her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel, to play the whore in her father's bait, in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. If a man be found lying sexually with a woman married to an husband, if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Both. The man that lay sexually with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel, that is, a virgin be betrothed to an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie sexually with her, then ye all shall bring them both, 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 both. out to the gate of that city, and ye all shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's Eshet, his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie sexually with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But to the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin, no chatiat, no uckery worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none, no one to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie sexually with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give to the damsel's father 50 shekels of kesef of silver, and she shall be ishto, his wife. Because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's isha, his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. And hear, Shema Yisrael, give ear, Deuteronomy chapter 23, divers regulations. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of Jehovah. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of Jehovah. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of Jehovah. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh of Jehovah. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yahweh of Jehovah forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when y'all came forth, Mimitzrayim, out of Kemet, out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee, Balaam, the son of Beor of Petor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee, Nevertheless, Yahuwah, Elohecha, Jehovah, the I Elohim, would not hearken to Balaam. To Balaam, but Yahweh Elohecha, Jehovah the I Elohim, turned the curse into a baraka, a blessing to the I, because Yahweh Elohecha, Jehovah the I Elohim, loved the I. Thou shalt not seek their peace, their shalom, nor their prosperity all thy days forever. For I. And hear. Hear, Shema Yisrael, hear, give ear right here. For the Rabbi, here for the fourth reading, the fourth offering, the Rabbi Aliyah, here for this Shabbat, Ki Tetzeh, Sabbath, when thou goest forth. Hear. Deuteronomy chapter 23, here at verse 7. Verse 7 in the KJV, verse 8 in the Sefer. Here in the Chumash. Lo titae ba'edomi yaki ya'achika hu. Lo titae ba'mitzri ki ya'gera hayita be'arzo. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Lo titae ba'edomi ki ya'achika hu. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, a Kemite, because thou wast a stranger in his land. Lo titaev mitri ki ger hayita be'arso. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of Yahweh of Jehovah in their third generation. When the host goeth forth against thine enemies. Then keep thee from every wicked, from every ratchet thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither, where thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. Ki Yahuwah Eloheka, for Jehovah the I Elohim walketh in the midst of the I camp, to deliver, to deliver the I, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, be set apart, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Thou shalt not deliver to his master the servant which is escaped from his master to thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Thou shalt not downpress him. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the bait, the house of Yahuwah Eloheka, of Jehovah the I Elohim, for any vow. For even both these are abomination la Yahuwah Eloheka to Jehovah the I Elohim. Thou shalt not lend upon usury interest to Achika, thy brother Wendemeh. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury interest. To a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury interest, but to Achika, thy brother Wendemeh, thou shalt not lend upon usury interest, that Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, may bless thee, in all that thou settest Yadika, the I Yad, I hand, to in the land whither where thou goest to possess it, to possess her. When thou shalt vow a vow, la Yahuwah Eloheka, to Jehovah the I Elohim, thou shalt not slack to pay it. Ki Yahuwah Eloheka, for Jehovah the I Elohim will surely require it of thee, and it would be chatiyat, it would be uckery, lack, sin, forfeiture in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no chatiyat, it shall be no sin, no lack, no uckery, no forfeiture in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed, la Yahuwah Eloheka, to Jehovah the I Elohim, which thou hast promised with thy mouth, 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 thy mouth,
the people see the sound of man, the people see the words of man, the people hear the light of mine, the people pray the prayer of mine, the people sing the sound of man, the people pray the light of mine, the people pray the prayer of mine, the people burn the fire of mine.
Bill on your door. Emmanuel, I want your judgment to come. Them can't stop the fire with the youth, them all. make me wonder what you do. The people sing the song of mine. The people pray the prayer of mine. The people hear the shout of mine. The people speak the words of mine. The people sing the song of mine. The people pray the shout of mine. The people live the lives of mine. It never makes no sense. Them tell you the youth, them be here in the ambience. Get them big wacky, them say them friends. This is money with your life, so we not be changed. This Marcus God, we don't tell them get it. Yo, 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 yo. The people sing the sound of mine.
Gonna mash them down. Yes, word sounds and power's gonna trample them down. With word sounds and power, I and I shall go. Word sounds and power shall take us through. Yes, word sounds and power, we won't be blue. With word sounds and power, I and I shall go through. Yes, cause like the days of King Pharaoh, Christ was for us, yes, this I know. Oh, with word sounds and power, yeah. Oh, yeah. With word sounds and power, we shall win a home. And word sounds and power, we will stand our ground. With word sounds and power, I and I shall go. Yeah. With word sounds and power, we shall go. With word sounds and power, we shall know no sorrow. Word sounds and power shall take us through. Yeah. Word sounds of power, we won't be blue. Like the days of old, word sounds and power was all we know. Remember the Red Sea, remember the Blue Sea, Moses and Aaron did take.
brutality. They use humanity, yeah. With words, sounds and power, we'll stand on our own. With words, sounds and power, now we're fully grown. Yes, words, sounds and power, we must use. Oh, words, sounds and power, shall break them down. With words, sounds and power, we've got our own. Yes, words, sounds, and power is all, yeah, yeah. Our power, our word, words, sounds, and power.
Yes, yes, yes. Words, sounds, and power. Some interesting questions coming in on this Torah reading and feeding right here, here, here. I'd like to touch on it momentarily, but we have a song. We have a song, but it's good to hear the word and also come, 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 make a reason. Because every time I hear the word, Prince Farah.
And said unto them, Hear our words which the Lord hath commanded, that ye shall do them. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day shall be the holy day, a day of Sabbath, a rest day for the Almighty. Whosoever doeth work, then shall be put to death. And work they shall put to death, he shall kindly no fire show your navigation upon the Sabbath day. Every time I hear the word, every time I hear the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Every time I hear the word, every time I hear the word. And the Lord said unto Moses, A tree, two table of stone, like unto first, and I will write upon them the table of words, that were the first table which thou art breaking. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai. Every time I hear the word, 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 the word. Word is wind but blows unkind. Every time I hear the word, every time I hear the word. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and said unto them, Hear the word which the Lord hath commanded, that we shall do them. 6 days shall do all thy work, but remember the second day is the Sabbath day. Sabbath day. Every time I hear the word, every time I hear the word, every time I hear the word, 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 the word. Every time.
Yes, yes, yes. We have a psalm here, Psalm 13, like to share something from the previous overflow on the tabernacle, the temple pattern, compared with the New Covenant and Rovenu Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Matthew 5:25. Connected with Judges and Yeshua's quote, a quote there. But let's just say a couple of words kind of right here, here, here. You know, we just was asked as we played the third and the fourth day Alio, you know, concerning, you know, certain castrated persons, you know, entering into the congregation, you know, what would happen to ones there? Like, what of them? What about them? You know? And in modern day sense, you know, sometimes once we look at different things that are going on today concerning, quote, gender issues and kind of confuse certain things. So let's just put this in a little bit of a kind of a context, because we just was asked as that part was playing, you know, concerning that, you know, what is, you know, is this applied to like so-called transsexuals? Can we apply that? I know it's a lot of arguments talk about the eunuch and the eunuch here, but as we start to look at things, we put them into a better context that Potiphar, you remember Potiphar, I think it was the Egyptian, according to the Genesis narrative, that Joseph had worked for. The same word used for eunuch there, right? Or same word for eunuch is used there, but translated as official, right? In other words, Yeshua says something interesting about eunuchs. He said that there are some who are born eunuchs, you know. Now, what is a eunuch? You know, well, not having that maybe... So it's not so-called when people talk about normal. You know, a lot of people argue about this normal thing. But, you know, not having the full male, you say, genitalia. You know what I mean? Something either more or something less, right? That is often, or not having the stones, as it says in this Torah reading and feeding, about the privy member or lacking their stones, so forth and so on, cannot enter to the congregation. Now, fellow Talmudim, you recall when we was reading and studying Leviticus, this same word that we have here, let's actually bring this up right here and reason on it a little bit right here. Because the question came up for one, right? No doubt others might have had, what does that mean right there? Because it does sound, and it might seem a little, you know, a little harsh. It might seem a little harsh. So what we're going to do is grab that scripture right here, but first play today's daily psalm as we get the scripture ready, you know, so we can go over that section and a little bit of the reason, man. I hope I and I, Brother Hillel, Brother Taharka, I hope you don't mind right there, because it's a good question that came forward, you know, sometimes on the board, you know, some ones and ones on the WhatsApp or elsewhere might forward a reason, man, or ask a question, and because that is a question concerning this Torah portion, reading and feeding is very, very good, you know, that we touch on it right here, here, here. So first things first, today's daily psalm according to the royal order. We have Psalm 13.
Boom again, Shalom Chaparim. Here we have today's daily psalm. We have Psalm 13.
Mizmor Yud Gimel. Lamnatzeach Mizmor LeDavid. 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 Mizmor LeDavid.
How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever.
Ad anna Adonai tishkacheni netzacheni 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 netzacheni.
How long wilt thou hide thy face?
How long wilt thou hide thy face?
How long wilt thou hide thy face? Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face? Hide thy face. Hide thy face. Hide thy face. Hide thy face. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. 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 How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever.
How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Hide thy face,
hide thy face, hide thy face.
Ad anna tastir et panecha
minnelli.
How long shall I take counsel in my soul?
Counsel in my soul. Counsel in my soul. Counsel in my soul.
Ad anna ashit etzot benafshi. 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 Benafshi.
Having sorrow in my heart daily.
My heart daily. My heart daily. My heart.
Yagon bilvavi yomam.
Vavi yomam.
Vavi.
How long shall mine enemy be exalted? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?
Be exalted, be exalted, be exalted, be exalted.
Ad anna yarum oyevi
alai.
Oyevi alai.
Oyevi
alai. Oyevi
alai.
Oyevi alai.
Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully,
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 dealt bountifully, dealt bountifully,
dealt bountifully, dealt
bountifully.
Yes, I, yes, I. So here, 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 let's testify today's daily psalm. That's Psalm 13. Hopefully we have opportunity to go into a little bit more of a reasoning on it. But right here on this Torah reading and feeding. So this here is in the third Aliyah, the third day's reading. That picks up with Deuteronomy for Shabbat Ki Tetzeh. Ki Tetzeh, when thou goest forth. When thou goest forth, ki tetzeh. That's also an interesting section right there, because there's been a lot of conversation of rape, so-called, in the Bible, and whether the Bible or the God of the Bible, Yahuwah, whether he condones this or that. And these are very interesting reasonings and important reasonings. But here we're going to zoom in on this, but that's also part of this 49th sabbatical study, something that has been kind of buzzing on certain areas of, we could say, you know, the internet, you know, and also particularly among so-called some in the black conscious areas have been talking about, you know, this area of the scripture. In fact, it's the very area right here, here, here that begins in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 10 to verse 17, that section has generated a lot of conversations, some very interesting conversations, but we still give thanks for the reasonings, you know, especially the reasonings, the true reasonings and the reasons that can explain, but also those who might be a little bit insane, you know, in their misunderstanding of what the scripture is saying and what is being justified and what is not being just, or rather condoned. Condone, the whole thing about condone. The word condone basically means to pardon in its root meaning. I know we use the word in other senses today, but that's also part of, we could say, you know, the curse, so to speak, that Babylon, that confusion of tongues. But here, let's zoom in to third Aliyah here in chapter 23. This is called diverse, this is themed diverse regulations. So picking up for the third Aliyah of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 22, at verse 8, where that picks up right there, concerning building a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement, right? I think it's that they call it a parapet. I don't know if it's a parapet, a battlement, like a battlement for the roof is like, if you have a roof, you should have some sort of like a railing around the roof, like a protection around the roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house if any man fall from thence. So even the regulation we have in Torah even point to, you know, when ones and ones will have a house, even pointing to the ones in the wilderness when they will enter the land and Yah will bless them and they will have a house, you know, and however many stories high and they have a roof there, they should put a railing, what they call a battlement here, like a parapet around the roof so that if anyone is up there, and if they fall from there, it won't be the fault that you do not have like a guardrail on the roof. Okay, so right here, we're in like the 92nd mark right here of the podcast. We're about to go into the grace period. So let's just go forward just a little bit more on this right here, So that's the first section right there. So this is telling us that if somebody falls on your roof, you can incur blood guilt because of that. It would almost be like in a court case, you are somehow complicit, right, in their death. Even though people can make other arguments, I've even heard people make other arguments, they have no business on my roof or whatever it is. But this is a good principle here, something that we need to even reason on. But this is where the third Aliyah begins, with Deuteronomy chapter 22 at verse 8. Then it goes on to the laws of separation, concerning how we sow our seeds within the ground, how we plow with the ox and the ass together. There's a new philosophy going on in the world that is like against tilling, against, you know, tilling the ground. This was reasoning, you know, and that came forward. That was cheered if I 10 seconds, y'all. But anyway, here, thou should not plow with an ox and an ass together. Now, in the New Testament, it says, don't be unequally yoked. Some may have heard that phrase, don't be unequally yoked, right? And this is where this comes from, this area of Deuteronomy, the Gospel of Moses, of Moshe, Deuteronomy 22 and 10. Then we go on to where, speaking about the laws of separation, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts. So even down to the sort of garments that call Yisrael, Yasharala, that Israel. Remember, this is directed to Israel. A lot of people have problems with the Bible, and then you ask them, well, are you an Israelite? Are you Israel? And they say, no. Well, I guess it's not for you. You have problems with it. You know what I mean? But for us to be able to explain to those who sincerely and truly want an answer, come, make we study. So here in the laws of separation, verses 9 to 12, first it speaks about how we sow our seeds in the ground, right? Right, that our land, our vineyard be not defiled by sowing two different types of seeds together. It speaks about not plowing with an ox and an ass. Think about that for a moment. You have an ox, like a bull, and then you have an ass, and you yoke them up together to plow your land. You know, that could be murder on the ox, because the ox, I mean, on the ass, because the ass is not as, the ass is strong in its own way, but it's better to have two asses or two oxes together. So this also warns us about certain things that may be seen to be, what they call it nowadays, expediency. We should avoid those things that may seem to be expediency, because that would be violating this holy and set apart way that's pleasing to the Almighty. So then it goes on to say, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sort, even the type of garments, as woolen, giving an example here, as woolen and linen together. I'm trying to think of a garment. I'm sure they probably got something out there, woolen and linen. They probably try to mix the two fabrics. But Yah is saying that we are not to do that. But what's particularly interesting is there's some researches that have gone on about some of these very things and really show why the Torah, even scientifically, is right and accurate with these things that it's mentioning. Even in these laws or direction Torah concerning separation, not to sow thy vineyard with different kind of seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled, not to plow with an ox and an ass together, not to wear garments of diverse sorts. And there's a lot of research that really speaks about how certain type of clothing
right? And the type of fabrics and synthetic fabrics and some type of combinations. Some of y'all might know that because you might know that certain kind of things, you're sensitive to it. And sometimes when you start to look into it, it violates these very direction, instruction we have here in Torah. Then lastly, in this section here, it says, thou shall make thee fringes, right? Fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. So here it once again brings into effect the role and the importance of the fringes. Then it moves forward to speaking about the innocent wife, how the innocent wife is protected. That if a man, he suspects or he just accuses his woman of something and gives her a bad name, so forth and so on, how she has remedy, right? And there is remedy and protection by way of Torah, even for her against a man that might feel something or think something or just go out there and just shames somebody, his wife, particularly who's innocent. So it goes through that as well right there. And then also, as we get to the verse 20, the guilty wife, the wife who really has kind of gone aside, right, is to be stoned according to one of the rules and regulations of judgment that we have here in HaTorah. Now, ones will get all in the woods about that, but I was told this, that we shouldn't be looking at, you know, like ancient things with modern eyes. Yes, we have modern eyes. But in order to truly understand the context, we have to understand the context of those times as well. Right? There are principles that transcend the principles. You know what the principles are. Even in many of these things, although the custom of what was practiced in that time might not be so-called acceptable in this time, one thing we find is that the principles remain the same. Right? The principles remain the same. But let's go on to verse 1 of chapter 23. Just want to give one an overview since it's the third day right here and the third day's Aliyah and a question had come in. Here in verse 1 it says, he that is wounded in the stones or hath his privy member, his private member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of Yahuwah. And that seems pretty harsh right there, doesn't it? You know? It all depends on your perspective, but many would probably find this down. Of course, this here sometimes is confused and conflagrated with, you know, the LGBTQXYZ or those agendas, sodomite act, activist agendas. These things are confounded and confused. But that's not what it's speaking about right here. It's saying that one who is wounded in the stones, you know, the stones, you know, as you say, balls, right? Now, we can look at this literally. But then in a new covenant sense, it's interesting to look at this in the New Testament sense as well. You know, like they say, wow, you got, you know, people say you got balls on you. That means you have courage, you know, on that level. But in this sense, looking at it physically, if we must look at it physically first, what does this mean, Chaverim? They cannot enter. Well, the congregation, see, we speak of congregation, you know, today, nowadays, the congregation. But the congregation that you hear about in different churches and denominations, even if they're reading the Bible, is not the same as what the Torah is. They take the word, they take the general idea, but it's not according to this template and this pattern. The congregation is speaking about the holy place, and it's speaking about those who be a witness to the covenant. Now, how do we know that? Because when we start to study the Torah, we find that when it says three times in the year shall all the males of Israel appear in the place, right? And then we have the congregation regarding the priests, even the qualification of the priests and the qualification of the ministers, right? They must be set apart, first of all. And they must be, when you say perfect, the sense of perfect in the Hebrew, the tam and tamim, is complete, just like the offerings must be complete, or at least, right, as it was in creation. When I say perfect, I know this term, people say there's nothing perfect, so forth and so on, but within the Hebrew sense of perfect, we can use the offerings example. What do we mean by offerings example? Well, if this offering required a lamb to be offered, just to take this as a case study, a thought exercise, so to speak, then that lamb, right, would have had to be as a lamb was when it was created. In other words, according to the proportion. That means it has to have one head, you know, the two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth, you know what I'm saying? You know, four legs, and basically look like a lamb and be like what a lamb is. That means it couldn't have three legs, two heads, you know, one eye or something like that. You know, just pointing this out so that one can get a sense of the word perfect, as they even said by the Messiah, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So if people say there's nothing perfect, you're going to have to put that into context. I see some people who believe in the Lord would even say there's nothing perfect. And then I'll scroll to that verse where it says, be ye perfect. But then, what you don't understand is it's like perfect in our heart and the way we think and what we – wait, stop for a moment. You said there was nothing perfect, right? And His Majesty, Kadamar HaLaSelassie, says something interesting. He says, although there's no perfection amongst humanity, no, amongst man, amongst people, apart from God, there is no perfection in that sense, real completeness, apart from grace, apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from, you know, the Almighty, the Most High. There is not, because man already made his choice. You know, remember back in the beginning? They was told, don't eat of this, you know. Or really, he was told, don't eat of this. But later on, she, you know, was told something different. And he listened to she, and they ate of it. Now these consequences have come about. You know what I mean? And now people say, well, where's God? Well, hold on for a moment. As a thought exercise, if this whole thing began, right, and someone who did good for me, created me, reformed me, put me in the garden of delight, and said, hey, just don't eat of this one tree, and this day that you eat of it, you will die, right? And you will be dying to death, you know, as we're living in these bodies that degenerate. No matter how much people try to be holistic and this and that, we recognize that that's good. But there's something else going on. There's some systemic anomaly, right, that even with the best, you know, holistic care, we notice that something in humanity seems to cause human beings to degenerate and not even regenerate, you know, on the natural, from the human perspective, as we see the seasons come. You know, when people die, we don't wait for the season to come back in and look at the ground and they pop up again. But we see that happen with trees. We see that happen with crop. We see that happen in other ways. So this, in a sense, kind of proves what Genesis brings out right there. So we're just saying that these consequences, right, that we experience, the good, right, and the evil, or the beneficial things and the harmful things, from a scriptural, biblical Torah perspective, are the consequences of people like us choice, making a choice. And in grace, Yahuwah revealed, right, to the holy ones of old and also to the children of Israel, his way, right, in the fullness of time, sent his word into the likeness of this sinful flesh in order to show us the way of his good, right, overcoming this evil and entering into that garden, that tree, that liberty, that life again. I know some might not believe it, so you could go elsewhere, but for those who seek to know it, let's reason on this. So what we're saying right here concerning the congregation is the congregation is the holy place, right? This means that ones and ones are still part of, even the one that has his stones are, what it says, wounded in the stones, his privy members cut off. This does not deny him right of being Israel, but being part of the congregation, the witness. You know what I mean? It's almost like we're going to send people to represent us, right? We're going to send people to – are we going to send the worst people to represent us, or we'll try to send the best people from amongst us to represent us? This is what the sense of this is saying. Nothing more and definitely nothing less. Now, look at the next verse for a moment. It says, a bast shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Remember the congregation, right? The congregation was those who were able to enter into the tabernacle court.
Think about how large the tabernacle in the wilderness was. You could go and look it up, and there's a lot of good examples that can give you a sense of what it looked like and a sense of its approximate size. First of all, how many people you think could enter into that? You know that all of Israel at one time could not enter into that. So a select ones could enter into it. We have the priests, right? And then we have the Levites, right, that serve there, right? And even among the Levites, not every Levite may have been qualified at every time to serve. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes some may not have been qualified to serve, and therefore others served for them. So that shows that there was a qualification that wasn't just against the one that was wounded in their stones or had their privy member cut off, or even though it wasn't ever against the bastard. Let's talk about the bastard for a moment. I'm not talking about the bastard that, you know, people don't call people, you a bastard, you just want a bastard, that one. No, we're not talking about that kind of bastard. We're talking about genealogies. Genealogies have to be verified. No mama's baby and papa's maybe in the covenant of Israel with the Almighty. Can I say that again? No mama's baby and papa's maybe, right, in the congregation, right, of the children of Israel. So therefore, when it says right here, a bastard shall not enter the congregation, according to the context of the time here, right, because the grace that we have, right, that grace was not fully, you could say, manifested, right, in the old covenant. But the old covenant becomes a shadow and a type of these principles and things that are important with the Almighty, but because we chose to experience the consequence of good and evil, the Father is showing us what good is, right, and what evil is. But these are the experiences that we have chosen as humanity collectively. So here with the children of Israel and the congregation, a bastard, genealogies have to be verified. This is one reason why when we start to look in elsewhere in the scripture where it seemed to kind of be very harsh, you know, on ones and ones, you know, men and women, and sometimes maybe particularly women concerning, you know, who's who. You know what I'm saying? Is because of this particular fact. I know maybe today, you know, we've fallen from grace today, and therefore we can say these things are going on. And for we as the children of Israel, we know and we point to why these curses for disobedience have come upon us, just as Yahuwah has said even in Leviticus 26 and in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So just to bring that out, when it says a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, they can be amongst the children of Israel, and they can be, you can say, amongst the stranger. You know, so the stranger, he can still sojourn amongst us, fellowship amongst us, but to approach to the holy, as the congregation has that permission to, they cannot enter into that congregation. See, some people think that all of the children of Israel, the whole nation, was a congregation. That means they don't understand what this word congregation means in the context. Even to his 10th generation, right, shall not enter the congregation of Yahuwah. Then it points to an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of Yahuwah. Now, here's the interesting thing. Here's the question. Wasn't Ruth, you know, the great-grandmother, great-grandmother of David, wasn't she a Moabite? So one might say, well, look at the Bible. It contradicts itself because it's saying a Ammonite or a Moabite, but Ruth was a Moabite. From an English perspective, give them that right there. It does seem to contradict itself. But from the true perspective, not the lost in translation perspective, from the Hebrew perspective, it's speaking about a Ammonite male or a Moabite male. So when we read this in the Hebrew, it reads like an Ammonite or Moabite, he should not enter the congregation of Yahuwah. Even to thee, speaking of he, 10th generation shall they not enter the congregation of Yahuwah forever. I just want to point that out, and then it gives us a reason for this. Not because they are Ammonite or Moabite. No, it says because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when y'all came forth out of Mitzrayim. And
And so first of all, they did not meet us with bread. And why that? Because we look at the Ammonites and the Moabites, they are relations to Father Abraham. And therefore, by extension, they are relation to the children of Israel. So we can say, well, we're family, right? Or at least relatives, relation. There is a connection. That's why at first it says in verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 23, it says, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way. But when but it says because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse thee. So this shows that even though ones might be so-called related to you, right, they don't make them really good for you. So there's a principle and a point here concerning the Ammonite and the Moabite, right, because they didn't meet us with bread and with water, right? Nevertheless, Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah your Elohim, would not hearken to Balaam. But Yahuwah Eloheka turned the curse. So every time Balaam came to curse, right, Yah overrode him, right, and made the curse into a blessing to thee, because Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah thy Elohim, loved thee. And it says here, thou shalt not seek their peace, their shalom, nor their prosperity all thy days forever. And let's get to this verse here, because this is the verse right here. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. It says that to the Israelites, the children of Israel, they're not to abhor. Is abhor hate? No, it's related, but it's not hate. If Yahuwah wanted to say hate, he could have said hate right here. Even in the Hebrew, it's a different word than the word for hate. Abhor is to regard someone as detestable, disgusting, right? To abominate them, like to regard them as disgusting. Thou shalt not abhor, right? And Edomite, for he is thy brother. Now, I'm not saying to hate Edom, even though Yahuwah hates Edom. Let Yahuwah hate Edom for us. But what we're commanded is not to treat the Edomite as being disgusting, you know, as being abominable, you know, almost like less than human. Why? Because if we treat him like that, Hebrew Israelites, hear this, everybody will recognize, well, he's your brother. So on one hand, some of our so-called Hebrew Israelites, right, have shown great abhorrence for the ones that they call the Edomite. Many of them say, well, the Edomite is a white man, and they show great abhorrence. But then one could say, well, that being the case, he's still your brother. So you abhor him. So if he's so disgusting, why not I abhor you? But John say, he says, he says, thou should not abhor an Edomite. Why? For he is thy brother. That's a very interesting dynamic there. If Edom and Esau is a white man, then, well, I'll let them answer that. It says, thou should not abhor an Egyptian. An Egyptian, a Kemetic, a Tawian, an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. In other words, even to the Egyptians, we're not to abhor them, to treat them like disgusting, abominable, just because they're different, because they're Egyptians. You know, like when we say, I'm an Israelite, look at those Egyptians. I hate the Egyptians. Yah says, we are not to do that. Hope this was a little bit clear. This was a little bit not totally unscripted. We had the script here, but we just wanted to touch on a few of these things right here. I know that it might sometimes, like these areas, seem harsh, but what we're talking about is ancient peoples, right, and fundamental principles, and how ancient peoples dealt with these fundamental principles that it seems that we and the great majority of humanity has lost sight of today. Just a little testify right here.
I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify. We'll be right back.
Psalm 13.
Mizmor Yudgimal. Lamnatseah Mizmor Le David. Mizmor Le David.
How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever?
Forever? Forever?
Ad anna Adonai tishkacheni neshkacheni 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 neshkacheni.
How long wilt thou hide thy face?
How long wilt thou hide thy face?
Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face? 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 How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? Forever, 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 forever. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face?
Hide thy face. Hide thy face. Hide thy face.
Ad anna tastir et panecha mimmeni.
How long shall I take counsel in my soul?
Ad anna ashit etzot benafshi.
Having sorrow in my heart daily. My heart daily. My
heart daily. My heart. Yagon bilvavi yomam. Ad anna.
How long shall mine enemy be exalted? 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 How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted, O be exalted, O be exalted, O be exalted, O be exalted?
Ad anna yarum oyevi
alai. Consider and hear me, O Lord. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I move. I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully, 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 dealt
today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Yod, Gamal, Yod, Gimel. Lam Natseyach, Mizmor, Le-Dawi,
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 Le-Dawi.
Midrash, Midrash, seeking a study. Midrash, to seek a study of today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Yod, Gimel, Mizmor, Yod, Gamel. Psalm 13, Psalm XIII, is themed from despair to hope. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Yod, Gamal, Yod, Gimel. Lam Natseyach, Mizmor, Le Dawi. Od Anna, Yahwa, Tishakacheni Netzach. Od Anna, Tasatir, Et Panneka, Mimeni. For the leader, for the chief musician, a psalm of David. Lam Natseyach, Mizmor, Le Dawi. How long wilt thou forget me? Forget I, O Jehovah. Od Anna, Yahweh, Tisha Kacheni, Netzach, forever, Netzach, how long wilt thou hide thy face from I? Od Anna, Tasatir, Etapaneka, Mimeni,
Mimeni.
Here, Hebraically, the first two verses, including the superscription, Psalm 13, Mizmor Yod Gamel, Mizmor Yud Gimel. This verse is to be considered in the light, the illumination of what Scripture says elsewhere in Zechariah 7 and 13, where it reads, "And it came to pass that as he called, and they would not hear, so they shall call, and I will not hear, said Yahweh Tzevaot, saith the Lord of hosts, saith Jehovah of armies." Rav Yitzhak Isaac said, "Measure for measure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, declared, four times did I ask, Od Ana, how long?" In Bamidbar, in Numbers 14:11, "How long will this people despise me? How long will this people despise I? How long will they not believe in me, in I?" And in Shemot, in Exodus 16:28, "Od Ana, how long refuse y'all to keep my commandments?" And in Bamidbar, in Numbers 14:27, "Od Ana, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, with this evil society, this evil aggregation? Four times will y'all also ask, Od Ana, how long? Od Ana, how long? After I shall have delivered you over to the four kingdoms, y'all will cry out, will shout out four times in your distress, Od Ana, how long? How long wilt thou forget me, O Jehovah, forever? How long, Od Ana, wilt thou hide thy face from me, from I? Od Ana, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Od Ana, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" Hear, today's daily psalm, Hebraically speaking, Psalm 13, verses 2 to 3. Od Ana, Yahuwah, tisha kacheni, netzach. Od Ana, tasitir reta paneka, mimeni. Od Ana, ashita etzota b'nafshi. Od Ana, yarum oivi alai. In the kingdom of Babylon, y'all will cry out, Od Ana, Yahuwah, tishakacheni, netzach. How long wilt thou the I forget I, O he who be, who he be, O Jehovah, netzach, forever? In Media and Persia, y'all will cry out, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me, thy face from I? Od Ana, tasitir etapaneka, mimeni? In Greece, among the Gracchoi in Greece, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Od Ana, ashita etzota b'nafshi? And in the wicked, the ratchet, Edom, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me, over I? Od Ana, yarum oivi, alai. In another comment, the verse is read, "How long, O Jehovah, wilt thou forget, O strength, Od Ana, Yahuwah, tishakacheni, netzach?" And it means that the congregation, the aggregation of Yisrael, the society of Yisrael, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said to the Holy One, blessed be He, Ribon Hashella Olamim, Master of the Universe, is one a king, a melech, a negus, even negus and neges, without a throne? Is one a melech, a king, a negus, without a crown? Is one a king, a melech, a negus, without a palace? How long, O Jehovah, wilt thou forget, O strength, Od Ana, Yahuwah, tishakacheni, netzach? Forget that thou saidest to the prophet Shemuel, to the prophet Samuel, even in 1 Samuel 15:27. Surely in the covenant, the brit, made between thee, I, and the patriarchs and the fathers, thou, the I, that art the strength of Yisrael. Didst not act the liar. Surely thou dost not repent of thy boons, of thy goods, thy good doings, thy good dealings of thy boons, that thou wilt not bring them for us, for I and I. For scripture says in Bamidbar, in Numbers 23:19, El, the true good, the true God, is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rav Samuel Bar Nachmani commented, the beginning of this verse denies its conclusion.
Its conclusion.
Its conclusion.
Its conclusion.
And its conclusion denies its beginning. How? How is the discrepancy to be explained? When HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, decides to bring a boon, a good, to the world, He is not a man that He should lie, according to Numbers 23:19. But when He decides to bring chastisement to the world, then, as it is said, as to that which He has said, He will not do it. Thus, when Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Elohim, said of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, of Kemet, of Gibbetz, according to Bereshit, Genesis 15:14, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. El, true good, true God, is not a man that he should lie. But when Ha'el, the true good, the true God, when Elohim said to Avram, according to Bereshit, Genesis 15:13, know of a surety, know for sure, know of a surety that thy seed, thy race, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Then, as it is said, as to that which he hath said, he will not do it. Thus, like this also, when HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Isle One, blessed be He, said to Avraham, even in Bereshit, Genesis 21:12, in Yitzhak, in Isaac, shall seed be called to thee, to the eye. El, the true good, the true God, is not a man that he should lie. But when he said, according to Bereshit, Genesis 22:2, take now thy son, Baneka, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Yitzhak, even Isaac, and offer him for a burnt offering. Then, as it is written, as to that which he hath said, he will not do it. Thus, like this, also when Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Ha'el, when Elohim said, according to Shemot, Exodus 3:16, I have surely, for sure, I have remembered you. El, the true good, the true God, Ha'el, is not a man that he should lie. But when Ha'el, the true good, the true God, when Elohim said, according to Devarim, Deuteronomy 9:14, let me alone, leave me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under Shemaim, from under heaven. Then, as it is written, as to that which he hath said, he will not do it. Rab Barakiah related, it happened that from a teacher's cheer, a certain man was expounding the words, the Devarim, that are found in Exodus in Shemot 22:21, that reads, ye y'all shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. A widow who heard him came to him. When the man said to her, go away now, she replied, had I not heard thee, the I say, ye y'all shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child, I would not have come to thee. I would not have come to the I. And yet thou sayest to me, thou sayest to I, go away, come tomorrow. Even so, Yisrael, Israel, say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say to the Holy One, blessed be He, Ribon Shella Olamim. We, I and I, O Master of the Universe, Master of the Universe, we, I and I, would not have come to thee, to the I, had we, I and I, not depended, deep-ended on thy mercy, for thou didst declare, according to the words of Psalm 9 and 19. The needy shall not always be forgotten. And yet thou, the I, forgettest I and I, and yet thou forgettest us? How long wilt thou forget me, O Jehovah, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Ad ana Yahuwah tishakacheni netzach. Ad ana tasitir et panika mimeni. According to Rav Hanina, the congregation of Yisrael, the Society of Israel, says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be He, Ribon Shel HaOlamim, Master of the Universe, in generations past, Thou, the I, didst fight our battles, I and I battles for I and I, as is said even in 2 Samuel 5:24. For then is Yahweh, Jehovah, gone out before thee, I, to smite the host of the Philistines, to smite the host of the Philistines. For future generations, thou wilt also fight, as it is said, even in Zechariah 14:3. Then shall Yahweh Jehovah go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, as when he fought in the day of battle. But for us, for I and I, the generations in between, thou goest not forth, as it is written, even in Psalm 60, verse 12, Hebraically, hast not thou, O Elohim, cast I and I off? And thou, the I, goest not forth, O Elohim, with our host, with our armies, 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 with our armies. How long will the I forget I, O Jehovah, Ad Ana Yahuwah Tishakacheni, Tishakacheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, replies, is it I who have forgotten you? Is it I who have forgotten y'all? Is it not you? Is it not y'all who have forgotten me, who have forgotten I? As it is written even in Psalm 106:12, they forgot God, their Savior. Have I hid my face from you? Is it not you who have hid your faces from me? As it is written even in 2 Chronicles 29:6. Our fathers, our patriarchs, have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, of Adonai, of Jehovah, and turned their backs. And is it not also written in Jeremiah 2:27, for they have turned their back to me and not their face. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, also says to the congregation of Yisrael, to the aggregation of Society of Israel, in this world I have hid my face from you. But as is written in Isaiah, in Isaiah 52:8, they shall see eye to eye when Jehovah shall bring again Zion, shall bring again Zion in the time to come. How long shall mine enemy be raised high above me, high above I? Ad ana yarum oybi alai. These words, the barim, are to be considered in the light, the illumination of what Scripture says elsewhere, even in Esther, in Esther 3:1. After these things did Ahasuerus, Xerxes, raise Haman high and exalt him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Rav Akiba observed, to what height did Ahasuerus, did Xerxes, raise up Haman? To the height of gallows, 50 cubits high, as is said even in Esther 5:14, let make the gallows be made 50 cubits high. Ahasuerus, Xerxes, set his seat above all that did look upon him, in Esther 3:1. That is, until the end all looked up at Haman, at Haman, at Haman, hanging 50 cubits high, 50 cubits high. Indeed, the letters Kaf and Lamed, the Hebrew letters Kaf and Lamed, in the word kol, kol, in the word all, add up to 50, add up to 50. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Adana ashita etzota bitnafshi, yagona bielevavia yomam. Although I am sorrowfully oppressed, down pressed by the kingdoms, yet I continue with my whole heart, my holistic heart, to observe HaTorah, to observe the Torah, John's directions, instructions, and the commandments, and the imperatives that thou, the I, gavest me, gavest I on Sinai. I practice circumcision, I keep HaShabbat, and I set aside HaKohen, the priest's portion of the bread. In a different targum, in a different interpretation, the verse is read, how long shall I take counsel against my life, having sorrow in my heart daily? Ad ana ashita etzota binashi, yagona biya levavia yomam. I risk my life on account of the decrees issued against me, against I by the nations, by the goyim, the Gentiles, the international communities of the earth, for the purpose of destroying Torateka, for the purpose of destroying thy Torah and thy commandments, thy commandments. For their sake, I expose myself to mavet, to mot, to death. Behold, thou, the I, answer me, answer I, O Jehovah, Hailiyai, Elohai, my true good, my true God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Habita neni Yahuwah Elohai, Haira Ainai, Penai Shana Hamawet. That is, lest I be worn out in the stupor of banishment among the kingdoms. Behold thou, behold the I, and answer I. Habita neni, lest mine enemies say, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me, that trouble I, rejoice when I am moved. Habita eneni. Pen yomaro ibi. Yikaltio zara yagilu. Ki emot. When ha kadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, ask David. The insolence of the I, to speak such peremptory words to me, to I. David answered, because I trust in thy mercy. In thy mercy do I trust. Bechasedeka batachti, in thy mercy am I confident, do I trust. Bechasedeka batachti, in the mercy ascribed to the eye. In the verse found in Psalm 119, verse 64, the earth, O Yahweh Jehovah, is full of thy mercy. And again in the verse in Psalm 94 and 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Jehovah, held me up. Thy mercy, chasedeka, being Torateka, thy mercy being thy Torah, thy direction, instruction, that is called the Torah of mercy, the law of mercy, even in Proverbs 31, verse 26. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Yagel libi bi yeshuateka. My heart shall rejoice in the I Yeshua, in the I salvation, the I victory. Rav Abahu taught, this is one of those difficult verses that declare that the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Holy One, blessed be He, depends upon the salvation of Amo Yisrael, depends upon the salvation of Yisrael, of Israel.
Note that it is not written, my heart shall rejoice in my salvation, but in thy salvation. Bishuateka, in the I salvation. By that, David meant Yeshuateka, the I Yeshua, the I salvation, depends upon our I and I salvation. Another comment. In the kingdom of Babylon, we I and I said, in thy mercy do I trust. Bechasideka batachti. In the kingdom of Persia and Media, we I and I said, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Yagel libi bishuateka. In Greece, among the Gracchoi in Greece, we, I and I said, I will sing to Jehovah, Ashira la Yahuwah. And in Rome, we, I and I say, because he will deal bountifully with me, with I, ki gamal alai. Another comment on ki gamal alai, because he will deal bountifully with I. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, said, give I of my things wherewith I meet you in this world, and I shall deal bountifully with you in the world, in the time to come. During the Feast of Booths, Sukkot, pour water on the altar, the Mizbeach, before me, before I. For long ago I met you with water, as is written even in Bamidbar in Numbers 21 and 17. Spring up, O well, sing y'all to it, and I shall deal bountifully in the time, the Iowa, the age, the time to come. When, as Joel 3 and 18 says, the mountain shall drop down sweet, sweet wine. Take y'all a lulav, and with it dance in praise and eyes before I. For long ago I met you with dancing, as it is written even in Psalm 114 and 4. The mountains skipped like rams, and I shall deal bountifully with you in the time, in the Iowa to come. When, as Isaiah 55 and 12 says, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands, make a booth, make a sukkah before me, before I. For long ago I met you with Sukkot, with booths. When, according to Vayikra, Leviticus 23:43, I had the B'nai Yisrael dwell in Sukkot, in booths, and I shall deal bountifully with you, with y'all, in the time to come, in the Et Habah, in the time to come. When, according to Isaiah, Isaiah 4 and 6, there shall be a booth, a sukkah, for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. Hence, here it is said, even in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Yud Gimel Yod Gamel, Ashira la Yahuwah Kia Gamal Alai. I will sing to he who be, who he be, because he will deal bountifully with me, because he will deal bountifully with I and I.
The Prince of Peace, coming from the East. The Prince of Peace, coming from the East.
Thank you.
of life, deep like a deep.
And hear, Marcia Griffiths, I shall sing. Hear.
As long as I live, I shall sing.
Yes, yes, yes. Laila Tov, Laila Tov. Good night for the ones in the nighttime. Boker Tov, Boker Tov. And good morning for those in the east. Yes, I have a good morning. Yes, I.
Teach us.